Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Organic Nation Listening Club. Let's do this thing. Welcome to the Organic Nation Listening Club. Let's do this thing.
Good morning. You're listening to the Organic Nation Listening Club with Hummingbird and David Arnett Cherry. And we're sitting here with Nana Cherry, great vocalist and artist and poet, and she's in Los Angeles, and I'm in Los Angeles, to play a show in Hollywood, and she has a new record, and I let her talk about that, and so we just at home, sitting here, so you may hear some interesting sounds in the background, because everything is swinging here, like Count Basie. So Nana, you've been in the business for a while. Can you just talk to us about your directions and your process and how the music business probably changed when you started?
Broken politics. I guess the title of the album kind of sums up kind of what the material, I think a lot of the subject matter and the topic is kind of symbolic of the time that we're in, you know, and the kind of the political climate. And I think that, I mean, I know, I'm sure that it's the same for a lot of people who are creative. You know, it's the place where we go to talk about the things that we feel and the things that we're absorbing. And I know that it's a place where I heal and make sense of things. So I think, like, for me, this era is very much about being vocal, you know, and talking about the things that we're seeing and feeling and experiencing. So Broken Politics seemed to sum that up really well. And then I think from there, if you were going to look at the threads of what the 11 songs are, I think they're, you know, like personal recounts, if I don't know if you can even say that, but kind of stories, chapters. I think the album is like 11 chapters, you know, in a way, to me.
Nice,
you know?
Nice. Mm-hmm.
You know, rather than maybe being someone who would write like kind of anthems, I think I've always written from a personal place where through the songs and the lyrics and the music, you know, I'm identifying myself to other people's stories through my own, in a way. And I think, you know, it needs to be personal because that's where the feeling, you know, the spirit, that's how you fill the music with spirit. You know, you have to be there. You have to bring it from your heart. Process was really like kind of, I guess in a way, kind of quite special. I feel that this record was really, for me, like, I feel like I've done a full circle. I feel like I was really inside it and that I was really able to give of myself. And I was also really blessed in the sense that I was kind of able also to get inside the zone, like leaving the waiting room and getting right inside. Cameron, you know, who's also my husband, but who's been my creative partner for many years, Cameron McVeigh, we started by kind of just working in our own little studio. We had a really, I nearly said an intense working period, but actually it was kind of quite not intense. It was just like kind of peaceful, and we were able to like really make a nice journey. So we were peaceful, but we were also like removed in a way from our, you know, the daily crap, you know, that gets in the way. Like, it was very undistracted. So we did some really good work, I think, writing. And so we had 14 tracks when we went to New York to make the album with Karen Hebden, Fortet, who's an amazing producer. And he lives in Woodstock. And so we were looking at studios in Woodstock, and we decided and chose to work at Carl Berger's Creative Music Studios. And that was amazing. And I think that was also, you know, a very important piece to the album becoming so... For me, I mean, I think for me, on a spiritual level too, one of the reasons why it became so connected on so many different levels to me now and to my whole journey, you know, going all the way back, you know, my what I was born into, my playground, you know, the sounds of life. So we recorded it at Creative Music Studios in the home of Carl Berger and Ingrid Setso, and that was amazing. We did it over 5 days. Yeah, so we had the tracks, and then we just went in for 5 days and made the album. And Kieran's an interesting producer because he really brings everything to the table in a way. So, like, he's almost like mixing the music as, you know, you record it, you put the tracks down, and then he'll go over it and do a mix. So literally, kind of by the end of the week, we kind of had an album. He tweaked it and worked on some things out a bit. After. So it was a really fulfilling journey, and I feel very, you know, like I feel very sort of satisfied, and, well, I don't know, what's the word? I feel like I'm all there inside of it. So I think sometimes, you know, you do work and you sort of think like, oh, I could have done that better, you know, I could have done that better. And of course, there are always elements that you maybe could have explored and taken further. But I think sometimes if you can overwork things, you know, and you can kind of, you know, you can take maybe the initial vibe of something that you did, you know, you can lose it by overproducing it or, you know, doing too many takes and cutting too many things out. So I think this record was very much about being in the moment. And I guess in comparison to, like, when I started, I mean, it's funny, when I listened to this record or when we were making it, I felt like it was, for me, kind of quite connected to the Homebrew album, which was the second solo record I made. But I feel like there are some vibes and some energies from, like, Raw Like Sushi. But so I guess what I was trying to say is that I feel very connected to the whole journey I've made and that I'm making. Like, I have the history with me, but I'm standing in front of an open door. And I guess in comparison to how it was, I mean, if you want to call it the industry or making music now compared to how it was maybe when a record like Raw Like Sushi came out in 89, I mean, I think what's amazing kind of right now with the internet is that we have the freedom, you know, to kind of run our own ships, and you can put your own music out, you know, and not be dependent on someone in a record label to pick up on, you know, some music that you sent them and have to wait for them to kind of give you the thumbs up. I think now, you know, we can just go for it, you know, and promote our own music, and I think that's amazing. I guess the elements that are maybe harder is, you know, making a good living out of it can be tough sometimes. But we keep going. I mean, I think that it's a really interesting time in music. I think it's going to be interesting to see where we go, what we say, and where we're going to take it over the next few years.
But the impact of everything resonates. What I wear in my hair, grease in the air, tacks in the days of somewhere that I knew me to. Flip the track, turn the deck, but never turn the sound down. What it was then, make it now. broke back, bring it on. Got my knickers in a twist, broken glass, broken politics, try to bring it on. It's my politics, living in the slow jam. Everything low, bring it slow. Playful, supreme, delightful, painful. Play with me, synchronize.
The band ensemble just kind of interpreted
And she has a great ensemble that they change different, like the harpist would go and play the bass, or would play the keyboard, and the keyboard player would play the vibes or the percussion, and they were just changing instruments. And she has great stage presence. So it was a good time last night in Hollywood.
I bet.
The place is interesting. Yeah, it was called a Masonic Lounge, which was an old Hollywood place, but it was a cemetery behind it. Right, it was part of that. So, but the place was just so Hollywood classic, and the decor in there, and the wood, and so it was a good time. The audience was, came out to see this. I call
great.
It really like it was really art.
Nice.
It was really art. She took that.
Wow, sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
Wished I was there. Wished I was there. Maybe next time.
Yeah. That was talked about.
I know.
So,
wow.
Mm-hmm. Good to have you on the program.
Oh, wow.
We have more to come on this Organic Nation Listening Club, and this is December 1st, Hummingbird.
Wow.
Incredible.
I know, right?
December
it
1st.
Is.
Yeah.
Man, 2019
mm-hmm.
is right around the corner. Did 2018 fly by, or what that mean? Did 2018 just
zip?
I am
zip
so serious. It is.
Mm-hmm.
2019 got to bring about a big old change, David. I don't make New Year's resolution and all that stuff because that'll disappoint you behind. Yeah, I'm going to do this. And 2 years down the line, you're still trying to do that same New Year's resolution. So I don't say that. I'm hoping
for years,
I always
people
put
do that.
Forth. Yeah, but I don't do that. See, you get the. You know you're not going to do it.
No. Yeah,
so, that's why I never do them. I never say it, but I know that 2019, with some growth from me by age as well as spirit, let me make my tongue tied, with me physically, spiritually, and mentally, and by age, of course, I'm thinking that I want to do something totally different in 2019, just make a about face. Have you ever thought about that?
I hear you. Yeah.
I don't know.
It's always like a hummingbird. It always goes forward and backwards and up and down.
Maybe that's the problem. I've just been going just straight. I know I was supposed to back up and move around and circle around, up and down.
Yeah, and hover and hover.
I haven't been doing my job, David. I haven't been the 100% hummingbird that I was made to be. So thank you for bringing the light back to me.
Thank you. So I
hope you're enjoying Los Angeles. He is Organic Nation Listening Club on the road. And the very first On the Road Organic Nation Listening Club was with Nana, and that's to start off a great, great season. Hopefully in 2019 we can have more of these types of interviews where you actually see the performance and able to come back and talk with the artists and be able to share some of their music. So hopefully, this should be an awesome, awesome thing. And then you can actually see and tell the audience what you saw and what it made you feel and your experience. And so when they get a chance to see her, hopefully they would experience their own thing, even if it's some similar to yours. This is great.
We have a lot to look forward to, and a lot where we came from, because the Organic Listening Club, we've been all over the map, from gospel to hip hop to issues, a lot of issues that we're still going to be talking about coming up next week. It's a lot more things to talk about, and that's what I like about Broken Politics, is that she's bringing up some issues and saying some things that we should reflect
And we need to keep rising up to make some changes, like you said, changes in our lives, but changes in our community, and look at things differently in a positive way. But we can't just let people stop on us, or stop on the people, and especially our kids. They, like you always mentioned, they're going to have to inherit this world. And you always mentioned that. You know.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. And that we, within, when I was telling you about the voting, and you see how bad the voting came out, and our generation, our generation, mine and yours, is going away. We are the older generation. We need the newer generation to start stepping up. And I see that there are some. I can't say that there are not any. I do see that there are some. I do see that we're going to have a set of kids that's going to be doing their thing. I do see that. It's just scary to see that it is not working to the advantage of being black in America, or any other nationality in America right now, because what's happening is we're losing. You know, we're losing. We're losing and the kids, somebody's not coming out to vote. I don't know if it's if it was our generation, which I doubt very seriously, because, you know, our generation still believe, you know, when we walked and we couldn't go into certain venues, we remember that. So we don't want to go back to that. It's this new millennium and back that never got to see that struggle, that don't understand that there was a struggle. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you didn't, you can't find out about it in the classrooms anymore, because they only show the almost bad part. They don't show the real bad part anymore. We saw it with our own eyes. Did nobody have to show us anything? We saw it with our own eyes. You know what I'm saying? We were able to see people of color getting killed. And, you know, I was born in 58. You was born in what, 57 or 58?
No, 58.
Even though we were coming out of what would be considered race, not racism, because racism is still here, but how they was being able, where our laws was opening up where the black people should go, would be able to go to vote. And then I remember being bused to a white school because my black school was inadequate. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I remember that.
Yeah.
These kids, the new millennium, they never had to deal with that.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? So they don't know where we have to, where we came from to what we have to go back to.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? So
the elders have something to say to us.
Are,
you know, like my aunt, she told me about that stuff.
Yes. People are, but we're dying, but we're now dying off because we're getting older. So, so we have, I think that they don't realize the laws that can be lost and the livelihood that they think that they inherited by being born, which was not how they inherit being free. They inherited being free off of the backs of other blacks that died so that they could be free.
Mm-hmm.
No more. Mm-hmm. If you ever think about it, these people that fought for freedom never saw the freedom that we have received because of their fight.
Well, that's a good point. That's a good point. You know, that my aunt,
you know?
It's interesting. And I didn't know this. You know, she said when she first went to Las Vegas, they wouldn't let her in their room. They rented the room. They, you know, already got the room. But then they, as soon as they showed up, they wouldn't let them in, put them in the back where it was water beetles and all that, you know. It was like, I said, really, Auntie? You know, that's what they struggle with to get, like with your point.
Right.
For us to get, they didn't, you know, she's seeing the freedom and still seeing the lot of stuff that, you know, is out there that should have been changed and still here, like what you mentioned earlier, that we still have to keep fighting, you know, keep fighting for it, you know.
But because we're losing the war, because the fight is not as vigorous as it used to be. It's almost like they don't feel like they need to do that. They have lost all concept of what is reality. But you know, and then I am so thrown back because I've seen it before. In 19 such and such, I saw it before. I saw this. You know, and it wasn't good back in 19 something. And it's sure not good in 2000 and something. So it's only going to get worse because the people are getting more radical. And the people that we use as supposed to be our protectors are our imprisoners because they too are killing us. So you know, it doesn't matter unless, you know, I noticed that you guys have been keeping up. I've seen you send me a picture about the police officer that killed that African-American man, said she walked in the wrong place. I would love to go to that trial. It's in Dallas.
Yeah.
I would love to go to that trial. Yeah. I wish I could be, you know, I wish I could go to the jury on that, but we're running out of time. And I just was listening to her song, and the politics of the world now will, it's going to be a big difference in the next coming of years. We got to put the right kind of person in the White House. We got to be able to get, we are alienating other countries because of who our leader is, because they don't like the bulliness of it all. And, you know, if we stay in the news,
you're down, hummingbird, Yeah. We are on the Organic Nation Listening Club, and we with Hummingbird, our host, and David Arnett Cherry, and we just heard some Nina Cherry, which is on the road with her new record, Broken Politics, and we're going to come back with some more Nina Cherry. And but do you have any last minute words, Hummingbird?
I do. I want you guys to have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. It's supposed to be beautiful here. I think I may get back on the road and go to Houston, visit my sister.
Oh, great.
And I hope. I'm thinking. But I want everyone to make a great weekend. And I hope to talk to you soon, Mr. Cherry. And tell me that. Thank you.
Yeah, you stay sweet and keep moving.
I am. That's the problem. I've been stagnant. You're right.
All right, you guys.
Have a great weekend.
So let's get to some more Nina Cherry. We're going to come back at you here. Here we go.
Another day now, fun at playgrounds, bend the rules now, know the rules now, play the rules now, it's institutional, resolutions, lack of direction, intersections. Pick up the gun, you know you're gonna use it. Know that gun, it's gonna get loaded. Say my name before you pull it. Too late, you know, just took that bullet. Look at front to back, through the shotgun shack. Decide to slow, to run fast, catching up with you, too slow to move, it's gonna get you, the playground rules, you can cry. Try. No way you can turn, you can shotgun, living in the shotgun shack. In the back, living in the shotgun shack. In the back, living with the shotgun, living in the shotgun shack, living in the shotgun shack, living in the back, living with the shotgun, living with the gun, living with your back to the wall. Pick up the gun, you know you're gonna use it. Know that gun, it's gonna get loaded. Say my name before you pull it. Too late, you know, just took that bullet. You can cry now, don't even try. No way you can turn, you can even run away. Two can cry now, don't even try to ride. You can hide now, you can even turn away.
Organic Nation Listening Club. Let's do this thing.